Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed that you are here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you bow your heads and your hearts, and let's open up with a word of prayer today. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the blessings and the providence that you grant to all of us each and every day of our life. We praise you for the wonderful weather that you have graced us with, and especially we thank you now for your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our coming King. So, Father, it's to that end that we turn to you this morning to sing praises unto your holy name, to glorify you, to worship you, for you are worthy. We bless you now. We ask that you would take this holy worship service and use it to glorify yourself, and may you challenge us in mind, heart, and soul, and may you be blessed because of it. We thank you and we praise you. In the holy name of the risen Christ Jesus, our Lord and King, we pray. Amen.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. All right. That's awesome. As we stand and praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God gives you faith.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of
give the Lord a hand clap of praise. What he's doing for us and what he will do for us. Let's bow our heads real quick. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for how wonderful you are. We thank you for allowing us to have all that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be here so that we can have faith in what you're doing for us, Lord, so we know that you're here. Allow us to be blessed and allow us to understand that. Allow us to have that victory over anything we're carrying with us, Lord. Father, we thank you for that because we can stand on those promises that you have promised to us and that we know from your holy word that we can have faith, the faith that is strong, faith that we know because you're there, that all things will work out for good. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. as we bow our heads. Lord, we are so grateful that we can stand on those promises, for you are a great and mighty, awesome God. There isn't anything you won't do for us. So allow us to have that faith. Allow us to let go of our past. Focus on the future, Lord. Allow us to know that no matter what we're going through, that you're there for us. You heal us. You take care of us, Lord. You provide for us. You give us the answers. We just need to seek you, Lord. For you are a mighty and great, great, wonderful God. All things we give you praise. Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
The splendor of the King, he's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. Stands. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. How with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. Oh, his name's above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for how great you are. Lord, give us that courage to step out in this world. Give us that faith to trust in you. Give us a victory over anything that we're going through, Father, because you are an amazing God. You're on the throne, and you can do anything for us because you love us, you saw us, and you continue to seek us. Allow us to seek you and have the faith knowing that you will take care of all things. Lord, we ask a special blessing over the pastor of this church and everything, Lord, and those that are out sick, heal their bodies. Those that are not feeling well today, heal their bodies, Lord. Allow them to have that faith knowing you're taking care of all things, and bring the lost to us so that we can share you with them. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just want to highlight a couple of brief announcements with us here this morning before we continue this time of worship. If you'll turn to the inside of your bulletin, you will notice with me on the inside fold the prayer and praises for this week. And this morning I received a text from Lauren Dilworth and her son Luke. He had hip surgery on both hips, and she just wanted to share a praise that he is off all of his pain medication and he is in high spirits and his recovery is going well. But I also want to, praise God. Amen. I want to invite you to be part of a ministry. Pat shared this and talked about this last week. A ministry that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at, what your abilities are, that we all can be a part of. And it's prayer. Every week you will see this list here printed, and it will change from week to week, and you will see that. And we would invite you to lift these prayer concerns, and many times they're praises. And so give God the thanks, for praise be to God, all the glory is due to him. But we also have a prayer chain here at Trinity. I have clipboards, and I'm going to pass those out. If you would like to be a part of the prayer chain ministry here at Trinity, we would just ask that you sign your name and your phone number. We have two ways that you can do that. You can either receive a phone call or you can receive a text. Now, Pat and Mary, they're going to meet here within a week or two, so we ask that you would give us a little grace because of the volume. And this is another praise, friends. I mean, the volume of people that signed up last week, it's amazing. So praise God. I am blessed to see how many of you are willing to join with us and to stand in prayer and to talk to God on behalf of other people. And so as I pass these out, I would just invite you, as God leads, if you would like to be part of our prayer chain ministry, to go ahead and sign your name and your phone number and put that on there. If you would turn to the back of your bulletin, you'll notice with me a couple other announcements. At the top, you'll notice the clothing drive fundraiser. It starts this coming Friday, January the 27th. And this will help to offset some of the costs for Vacation Bible School. And friends, Rachel's been up here, and you know, VBS is just seems to be exploding in a good way, and kids are coming out, and we have the opportunity to reach many more kids, and so we want to do more. And so you can read through that. If you would bring any unwanted clothes or bedding, towels, anything cloth, drop it off to the Easter Seals bin, which will be right out here in the Trinity parking lot. And then we will receive a check per pound, you know, for everything that is donated. And so, you know, if you would be a part of that as God leads, that would be wonderful. And I'm going to ask Charlene to come forward at this time as well.
Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever had a spiritual gift test done? Raise your hand. A couple. Awesome, we're going to have a huge class. Wednesday, February 8th at 7 o'clock here, we're going to have a spiritual gift, discovering your spiritual gift class. So it's going to be at 7 o'clock. I would love for you to come, and as many as we can get, we will love it. Pastor and I will be co-facilitating the class, so you'll hear more about it next week. So I just wanted to give you a heads up to plan for February the 8th. So, thank you.
Okay, all right, thank you, Charlene. You would come, Greg's got another announcement. You probably all can guess what his announcement is. But take it away there, sir.
All righty, so the last, has it been 2 months or so? It's been pretty long. We've been having these connection cards, and we're giving these out. We want you guys to fill them out if you're interested in beginning a new relationship with Jesus, growth groups, baptism, church membership, serving, etc. We are continuing every week to get more and more cards, and this is awesome. And we want to give you the possible assets and information that you guys need in order to properly know what you're doing, or know what information about the decision you're making or so forth. So keep filling them out, keep turning them in, and I'll keep doing this. The cards should be in your pews, I imagine, right?
Yep, they're in, yeah. They're in the pews.
They're in the pews. Fill those out. Yeah, it's okay. Not much more to say.
Okay. Yeah, fill those out, and if you're visiting with us, we'd love to have your information so we can be in touch with you. Fill those out and put those in the offering plate as it goes around as well. And one of the reasons why we are doing the Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts class is because the high majority of the cards that have been filled out and turned in, individuals are marking, I'm interested in learning about serving at Trinity. And sometimes we don't know where to begin. We don't know where to start. And so we are starting with that class here February the 8th. And if you're wondering where to get plugged in, you know, into the ministries, how to get started in serving, come to the class on February the 8th at 7 p.m. And so at this time, Children's Church is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And may we turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Today's reading from the Word will be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 24, found on page 1824 of the Pew Bibles, if you care to read along with us. We'll let our quiet thunder pass first. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in its hearing. If the ushers will now please come forward for our tithes and offering.
I just wanted to, the song that I am singing has a special meaning for several different reasons. But I remember when we were in Mexico, the group of us, there was a lady up in the mountains that was dying, and her daughter had asked for us to come for prayer. And a group of us went, and you had to do a lot of climbing and be very careful-footed. Anyways, I'm sure she's no longer with us. I'm sure she's with our Lord. But when we sang this song to her, you could feel and you could see her just relax and have peace. And it was phenomenal. And that's one of the reasons why this song means so much to me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Gracious, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, bless them, and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. A grandmother who was on her way to visit her children and grandchildren in California, she was somewhat concerned when the pilot of the airplane she was on announced that he was about to shut off one of the airplane's four engines. We've got a small oil leak, he said, but there's no need to worry. We'll do just fine with the three working engines that are left. As further assistance, he continued, you might like to know that we have four pastors on board. The grandmother digested this information, and then she was heard to say, I'd rather have four engines and three pastors than three engines and four pastors. Friends, this morning we find ourselves in a series titled Be Rich and Rich in Victory, and we've been going through all of the pieces of armor, and we find ourselves covering the shield of faith here this morning. Sometimes our faith in God can be a difficult thing. Sometimes, you know, it struggles to believe of what God would do for us, and sometimes we would rather see rather than to walk by faith. Yet the scriptures say that we walk by faith and not by sight. So we live in this constant tension. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I know in my life from time to time, I've experienced it many different times, that I know what I should believe, that God is a good God, that he's always with me, and yet I'm faced with a dilemma, faced with a struggle, faced with a circumstance or situation that it seems like there's no way out. It seems like there's nothing you can do. It seems like there's no one you can talk to, and yet we're called to have faith. God says, have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of those things unseen and the evidence of that which is hoped for. It's the substance of those things that are not seen, and it's the hope of those things to come, the evidence of that hope. So this morning in the message, I hope and I pray that as we talk about the shield of faith, that we would learn how to grow our faith, what practical things that we can do. And we all need to be like Martin Luther King Jr., who stated, you don't need to see the entire staircase. All you need to do is see the first step. I'll say that again. The late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated this. He says, you and I, we don't need to see the entire staircase. And yet we want to, do we not, friends? We want to know how things are going to work, what's going to happen, how's this going to play out. And all of this, and the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you just need to see the first step. One of the movies from years ago, back in the 80s or early 90s, Indiana Jones. He comes to that point where he has the chasm and he's looking to search for the Holy Grail, and he's got to take that step of faith, and he can't see that there's a path, there's a ledge, and he has to literally step out when it looks like there's nothing there. That's what it feels like sometimes, friends, when we walk by faith and not by sight. It feels like there's nothing that's going to support us. It feels as if we're all on our own, that it's our strength and all depends upon our ability and our talents and our gifts. And friends, that's not the case at all. You see, in our text this morning, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the armor of God and he lists out the specific pieces of armor, the shield of faith is the only piece of armor that gives a result when you and I utilize it. And that result is it will always quench the fiery arrows of the enemy. You see, back in antiquity, or the day that the Apostle Paul lived and Jesus lived, these shields were not the round shields that Roman soldiers used. They were typically about 4 foot high and 2.5 foot wide. And they were put together with two pieces of wood, and sometimes, and most of the time, they would be covered with a thick piece of leather. Now, that leather would then be soaked in water. Because the enemy's archers, what they would do is they would take these arrows and they would wrap cloth around them, and then they would put tar on that cloth and they would light them afire. And so when they shot the flaming arrows at the soldiers, that tar would explode and it would blow out bits of burning, hot, molten tar, setting anything in its path on fire. And so with the leather being soaked in water, that would quench the fiery arrows being shot at the soldiers. You see, sometimes we think there's nothing that I can do, and we get caught up in our mind, and we need to take up the shield of faith. These shields were also formed and made to interlock with one another. And so therefore they would create this wall of some sorts that they could move forward. And they were only 4 foot, and you think, well, that's not high enough. Well, the stature of the human beings at that time was a lot shorter. And so it was very adequate to cover the soldiers. And in fact, they would bend down and they would create this safe zone behind them, and so that any enemies, arrows and javelins, spears coming at them, it would be snuffed out. And so as we get to the shield of faith here this morning, I want us to understand the first three pieces of armor, the belt of truth. It directs us where we go, how our life moves. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects our belief system, the core of who we are. The shoes of peace, it provides a foundation for our life. The peace, the shalom, the harmony, the internal tranquility of what God wants for you and for me. And now we come to the shield of faith. You might not be aware of this, but the Apostle Paul, he's giving a command on the first three pieces of armor. And the soldiers would never take the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, or their shoes off when they were on the battlefield. And yet the shield of faith was an optional piece of equipment. And sometimes in our Christian journey, we feel that the shield of faith is so optional that we leave it over here, and then we go over here, and then we think that we don't understand why we're struggling. Because we need to pick up the shield of faith. And sometimes that looks like getting into the Word. Sometimes that looks like getting around other brothers and sisters in Christ and interlocking with them. We need to pick it up. And the promise is there, friends, that the shield of faith properly soaked in the water. And Jesus said, I am the living water. If your life is soaked in the living water of God, then any flaming arrows or darts or anything, accusation coming at you in your mind, heart, and soul, it will be snuffed out. It will be taken out. But if you don't pick up that shield of faith, then you're going to be subject to the internal struggles and wrestlings. And you, my friends, will not experience the victory that God wants you and me to experience in our Christian daily life. You see, we live in a life in such a world that there are things that will assault our faith on every single level. I mean, you turn on the TV, you read the newspapers, you do all of these different things, and they are not inherently evil, but you do these things and your faith constantly is getting assaulted. It's constantly doubt being thrown your way. And the answer, friends, is to pick up the shield of faith. And this is where we begin. There's three things that I want us to remember. The first thing is we need to understand or recognize that the key to our victory is our faith. If we could go on. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God, and that's you and me, friends, whoever is in Jesus Christ and has faith in Jesus Christ has been born of God. And those of you and me, we overcome the world. And this is the victory. And this is how victory is won. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. And it's our faith. It's the substance of those things not seen and the evidence of the hope that we have. The victory, the key to our victory, we need to recognize it's our faith. It's our faith in God. It's what we believe. It's what we do with our beliefs. If we protect it, if we take up that shield, and if we honor it, if we grow it, it's what we do in our faith. But the key to you and me being victorious in our life is what we do with our faith. Let that sink in. Over the years, I've looked at these individuals that I've called them giants of the faith. You can read in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Instead of Hall of Fame, you can call it the Hall of Faith. And it goes all the way from Enoch, all the way down through the lineage of those who cultivated such a faith that you read about them and you think, my goodness, how could they do such a thing? And as the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, we don't need to see the whole staircase. We just need to see the first step. This past summer, there was a went on a trip with, my wife now, and it was her whole family, and we went out to South Haven, Michigan for a couple days, and there was a lighthouse there. And this lighthouse on the outside didn't look like it was very tall and very high, but they were offering tours. You could crawl all the way up into the housing of the light and, you know, basically get all the way up there, and you're going around and around and around and around and around about three quarters of the way up there. I looked at Kathy, and I said, aren't we done yet? Aren't we there yet? But yet, that's how we feel about our faith. Sometimes we get exhausted. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we are threatening ourselves to give up. Kathy looked at me and said, come on, we're going to finish. Come on. At the very beginning, I was encouraging her. Come on, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And the whole roles flipped and they reversed. And she was on the other foot. And many times in our life and our journey of faith with Jesus, we need one another. We need individuals to come alongside of us to encourage us. And the flip side is true as well. We need to encourage because that is the key. That is the source of our victory over everything that is being thrown at us. If you don't cultivate your faith, there's no victory. You don't grow your faith, there's no victory. D.L. Moody says it this way. He says, some say that faith is the gift of God. So is the air, but you have to breathe it. So is bread, but you have to eat it. Some people are wanting some miraculous kind of feeling. That is not faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is where faith comes from. It's not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come stealing over me with a strong sensation, but it is for me to take God at his word. So we recognize the source of our victory is faith. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to realize that faith is God's gift to you and to me. Many times in our Christian journey, we personalize faith and we think, well, my faith is weak. That must be some sort of deficiency in me. I'm not as good of a Christian as this person, or I don't know what this person knows. And yet we don't realize that it's God's gift to all of us, friends. It's a gift of God. Romans 12, verse 3 says, for by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself or herself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each accordingly to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. It's God's gift to you to even believe. It's God's gift. And so when we are assaulted with the doubts from the enemy, the assault isn't coming at you, and yet we personalize them. The assault is coming at God's gift. And many times we don't realize, as D.L. Moody says, hey, the air is God's gift to us, but we got to breathe it. If we don't breathe it, we're going to die. Bread is God's gift to us, but if we don't eat it, we're going to be famished and die. God's gift for our spiritual journey is faith. And yet many times we think we can meander through life and never do anything with our faith. And we need to realize and remember the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s words, you don't need to see the whole staircase. We just need to see the next step. See the spiritual giants, Abraham. We read the text in Genesis 32 and 33 of him sacrificing his son, or you know, laying Isaac on the altar, and we wonder, my goodness, how does that guy get there? Well, he got there over a course of 40, 50 years of placing his faith at work in his life and taking God at his word. He didn't wake up one morning and be a spiritual giant of faith. No, he worked it. He applied it. Every single day, he put himself in a place that he could exercise faith in God. And as D.L. Moody said, he took God for his word, because the scriptures attest he knew that even if he would have slayed his son, that God would have raised him from the dead. That is faith. But we don't see the backdrop of all the tension, all the angst, all of the workings out of his personal faith in his daily life up to that point. All we see is the culmination of what the evidence is of how he grew his faith. We don't need to see the whole staircase. We need to see the next step. And when you see that next step, we take it. And as I was in that lighthouse, I couldn't see the whole staircase, but I could see that next step. There were places and hatches in that lighthouse that you had to bend around and just to fit up inside. And the smaller that they got, the more, you know, claustrophobic I became and the more concerned I was. And I'm thinking, do I even want to climb up here? But I saw the next step. You take that next step. You recognize that faith is the key to your victory in life. You realize that faith is God's gift to you. I just read the quote from D.L. Moody. He references Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we can say we eliminate God's word out of our life, and we're going to eliminate growing our faith. We eliminate our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and we're going to eliminate growing our faith. You see the connection? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You take a giant in the faith and a follower of Jesus Christ, and I will tell you that there will always be a connection of that individual spending time in God's word over the course of days, months, weeks, and years. And because you cannot grow your faith outside of pouring yourself into the scriptures. That's one of the reasons why we offer the courses that we do here, the classes here. They're not just something else to do, to put in your schedule. My goodness, everybody else is so busy themselves. I'm busy myself. It's to pour into God's word, to understand that the victory over this world rests in your faith. The third thing that we need to do is we need to respond. And this is found in two scriptures here. Matthew 17:20, and he said to him, this is Jesus talking, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if your faith, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Faith, little faith. I won't go into the implications. This is more about prayer and about authority, but the implications of your faith. And really, if you have faith just a little bit, you will have the power that God has in you. And I'm not going to get into all this, you know, all that other complicated things this morning. I want to challenge us to grow our faith. And here's the illustration that Jesus gives to us. Out of Luke 13, verse 19, and it's found in Matthew 13 as well. Now, he's talking about the kingdom of God here, and part of God's kingdom is our faith. Now, we understand that when you know, Jesus comes back, you know, the end of 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love remain, and the greatest of these is love, because love will never cease. But faith and hope will cease when Jesus comes back, or when we are in heaven with him. We will not need to have faith, because we will be in the constant, continual, eternal presence of God, and so our faith will cease. But up until this time, our faith is part of the God's kingdom here on this earth. It's like a grain of mustard seed. And this is what the kingdom of God, this is what your faith should look like, friends. Which a person took and he sowed it in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches. You see, the inference from this is this. Now granted, Jesus is talking about God's kingdom that's going to get so large that there's nothing that will ever be comparable to it. But the implication that we can derive from this text is that our faith should grow. Our faith should be grown. Our faith shouldn't stay small as a mustard seed. Our faith should be grown in such a way that we will not be in the same place that we are or were 10 years ago or 2 weeks ago. Our faith needs to be grown. And you might ask, how? How do I grow my faith? The late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we don't need to see the whole staircase. We just need to see the next step. For some of us here, the next step is to get in God's word on a regular basis. For some of us here, the next step is to pray on a regular, consistent basis. For some of us, the next step is to be more consistent in worship. For some of us, the next step is to get involved in one of the classes, Bible studies that we're offering here. For some of us, the next step is to go out and share the gospel. For some of us, the next step is to go on a missions trip. For some of us, the next step is to go and to feed the homeless. For some of us, the next step is to take the next step. Quit worrying about the whole staircase. We don't need to see it. We need to see that next step. And if you do that, if you take that next step, you will find that your faith will grow, that your life will be more victorious over this world, because that's the key to victory. You will praise God for giving you the measure of faith. And quite frankly, and I don't even want to go here, but I'm going to go here this morning, and then we're going to close. I personally believe that what we do with our faith is an act of stewardship. Because stewardship, friends, it consists of everything that God has given to us. And if God has given to us a measure of our faith, we are not being good stewards if we don't grow it. Are we? No, we're not. So what you do with your faith is a direct connection to stewardship. I personally believe that. I believe how we interact and what we do with what God has blessed us with in all facets of life, money, time, talents, treasures, relationships, material possessions, all of these things are an act of stewardship, and you can put faith in there. Faith, friends, needs to be grown. Faith, friends, needs to be sown in your heart, mind, and soul. And when you take up the shield of faith and these fiery arrows are being shot at you, they will be quenched. Because when you grow your faith, your life is like it's being dipped in the living water, and Jesus Christ is the living water. Larry and Kim are going to take a step of faith this weekend, and they've asked to pray, be prayed over here this morning, if you guys would come. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated, "We don't need to see the whole staircase. We just need to see the next step." Larry and Kim are going on the March for Life here in Washington, D.C. in this weekend, and they've asked that we would pray over them. And friends, this is their next step, friends. This is their next step. It's not ours. It's theirs. But we stand with them. All of us will have a different next step. And so would you bow your heads and your hearts with me, and may we pray over Larry and Kim. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for giving us the victory of our faith over this world. We thank you for giving us the gift of faith, the measure of faith. And we thank you that you have given us the responsibility to grow our faith. We praise you for Larry, and we praise you for Kim and for their obedience to step out and to go march for the right to life this weekend. And we pray that you would go before them, that you would anoint them, that you would grant them favor in their travels, that you would grant them strength of body, soul, and spirit, that you would just uplift them and surround them with your goodness and your grace and your love. And Heavenly Jesus, above all, may you be praised and honored and glorified and worshiped in all that they say and everything that they do. And may truly this country become a country of life. May it become a country about those that have no voice. The weak, the poor, the marginalized, and the outcast of society, as you were about, Jesus. And may we be the advocates for them. And we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, O Christ. And may we be the advocates of life. Go with Larry and go with Kim. Keep them strong, protect them, and grant them your praise, your honor, and your mercy this day and the days to come. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I implore you all, don't look for the whole staircase. Look for that next step and be found obedient and following Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace and your truth. We especially thank you for the faith that you grant to us. May you find us obedient in following you and honoring you and serving you in the ways that you have called us to. And so, Lord, we bless you. We honor you. May we be a good steward of the faith that you have granted to us. We commit this in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior and coming King, we pray. Amen.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he lived and died.
of all peace and of all truth and all love bless you and keep you and find you faithful and obedient in stewarding your faith that he has given to you in taking the next step. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.